people don't really buy CDs anymore, or, you know, it's just different than it used to be. Yeah, and I think the single is kind of what's ruling the day now, which I think is a bit unfortunate because, you know, once again, like you said, and growing up as a kid and with the influence of the radio and things like that, there was just nothing like going to the record store and buying a record and bringing it home and taking that plastic off and opening it up and putting that record on a turntable and, you know, really having that experience and holding that in your hand and looking at the pictures or whatever it was.
Yeah, it even had a smell that was probably carcinogenic as hell.
It absolutely did. Yes, absolutely. And it's funny because, you know, growing up, I had a ton of records, and then you get rid of that and you go, oh, okay, I'm going to have cassettes now, and now I'm going to get rid of my cassettes and get CDs, and now you've gotten rid of your CDs and everything's digital. And I do own a lot, you know, obviously a lot of my library is on digital music, but, you know, 5 years ago, I started collecting vinyl again. So, you know, it's nostalgic. It's a throwback. But there was, man, there was just like that thing where you went and bought that record. It was almost like a ritual to come home and, you know, exactly, open it up and sit down and play it.
Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
By the Light of the Radio is an award-winning song by our guest, singer-songwriter and performer, Chris Sullivan. He uses nostalgia, songwriting intuition, and a touch of his own magic to create his own memorable sound. Here is Chris Sullivan and myself, conversation already in progress.
And I was doing what you were doing in a younger age, and then I kind of got stuck thinking I had to work for corporations and do what, you know, I thought I was supposed to do. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been doing this a long time, and sometimes, you know, you ask yourself, am I still on the path, you know? But you get those moments of inspiration sometimes that convince you you're doing the right thing.
Trust me, you are.
Well, thank you, man.
Your music's super good.
I've
kind of run into a lot of musicians I never would have had I not had the podcast. There's so much talent out there, and the topic of indie label comes up a lot with a lot of these people, and it's a cool thing, but you know, it's really hard, I think, to learn how to optimize.
Well, yeah, you know, absolutely. Right now, I mean, I released this EP sort of under my own kind of volition. You know, it was an independent sort of project. And since it's been released, I have submitted to some independent labels as well. Sort of major labels. I submitted, you know, about a month ago. So I'm open to hear something back from those guys. And just really, you know, it becomes a point of, you know, trying to get your stuff distributed or get out there on the road, you know, outside of your own sort of, you know, your own sort of area. And, you know, I'm down in the Southeast, and I play in the Southeast often, and I try to get up to New York some and play in the city. And but, you know, looking to expand, sometimes you just feel like you have to, you know, you need that to help sort of create an audience outside of your own sort of, you know, home base. So, you know, independence or, you know, label support definitely is a way to do that, you know.
So you like playing live?
I do. And I mean, I play live. I've got a 5 day start tonight, and then I play the next 5 days. And I'm playing, I think 10 out of 12 days coming up. I had some time off last week, and went and yesterday and hung out with the guys in the studio where I recorded the EP and talked to them about getting back in, you know, soon and getting some more stuff down. But I do. I play live often, you know, and just like any other job, some days are better than others. But I do enjoy playing live, and it's paid the bills for a long time. So it works out well, you know. It's good. I do enjoy it, and it keeps the chops, you know, where they need to be, and keeps you, you know, inspired to, you know, trying to keep moving, you know, to move forward and try to, you know, just to get your music out to as many people as you possibly can. I've really met so many wonderful people. You know, I have friends that have been friends for 15 years, you know, that I met playing live. So you meet a lot of really, you know, good people, and you know, so it's, yeah, it's great. I really, I do like playing live.
The relationships, nothing better than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, tell me about your songwriting. Do you write mostly yourself, or?
I do. I've always sort of been, I was in a band for about 10 years, and I've been on my own for almost 12 now. So I've been at it for a long time. And I've always sort of, you know, lyrically, I just feel like, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I've always kind of felt like that was my job to do that. And I, you know, I enjoy writing, and I got away from it actually for a couple of years before I got back into this project. I was playing a lot. I had a lot of stuff going on, and I just sort of moved away from it for a bit and was, you know, playing some of my older material, and decided it was time. Just sort of got this inspiration, this sort of moment of clarity, like, look, you know, you need to get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing, and started writing again. And I do, you know, normally when I took this project in the studio, you know, I brought the songs in, you know, basically composed and written. And I would still, you know, lyrically be doing rewrites as we were recording the songs until it was time to put down the vocals.
Wow.
The guys that were that played on this project, the bass player and the drummer, Tom O'Brien and Chris Vieira, were buddies of mine and local musicians as well. And the guy that played guitar, Alan Price, he's played with Shinedown and done some work with them, and they sort of own the studio where I recorded. But all, you know, musical peers of mine. So I would take the songs in, and these guys would just jump right on it, man, and do their thing, and it worked out really well. I had a great time recording with those guys. So, you know, always said, you know, if you have anything, just bring it in, and we can sort of, you know, if you want to write together. So that opportunity is there. And I think I may actually at some point, you know, entertain trying to write with somebody else just to see what that process is like.
I bet it's awesome. The first song I heard of yours was
By the Light of the Radio. Yeah.
And I thought, well, one of the questions I always ask is, what were your influences? What you got you started? And for me, that song was, you know, one of the things was, I had a really piece of crap radio. It was a clock radio that woke me up to go to school in the morning. But it was playing all the, you know, top 40 hits and stuff. And to me, that radio sounded like, you know, it was a live symphonic orchestra, you know.
Absolutely.
Your brain fills Absolutely. In the gaps or something. But that was a big influence on me. What was that song about? What were you writing about when you wrote it?
Well, when I wrote that song, you know, that's exactly what it's about. You know, the first verse is, you know, when I was a kid, I spent my nights by the light of the radio, you know, and as a kid, I mean, you know, I'm asked a lot, you know, who are your influences? And, you know, the family had a great sort of record collection around the house. And I had an older brother that's, you know, he's 6 years older, and he was really into, he was a huge Led Zeppelin guy, and he was into Sabbath and Alice Cooper and, you know, that all that 70s sort of, 70s rock.
That was me. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, growing up in that era, as a little kid, you know, I mean, the radio was a huge influence. And if you think back to, you know, maybe, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you could turn on an FM radio station and you could hear just sort of almost every genre of music on one station, you know, or you listen to that Casey Kasem Top 40, you know, and you would get sort of every sort of style of music from rock to, you know, to pop music to what was considered pop then, or, you know, even disco or whatever was the flavor, you know. So I was a huge Kiss, you know, fan when I was 10 years old, like every 10 year old that, you know, those days. You know, and I, like I said, I was lucky to have an older brother that was really into music, and he played drums a bit and sort of encouraged me after I started playing guitar to continue playing. And he and I used to have to cut the grass when we were kids, and he never wanted to do it. So he would take out five of his records and say, well, you can get one of these records if you cut my half of the grass. So that's how I accumulated my record collection as a kid. But that song is just about really growing up with the influence of the radio and how it just really, you know, I mean, it's just about, you know, being a kid, and then sort of the second verse is sort of like being a teenager, and when you're, you know, when you got that car, man, or you were out with your friends and you were riding around town with the radio on, just, you know, jamming. And then the last verse sort of, you know, is indicative of sort of where it led me in my life to sort of be, want to be a musician, you know? So yeah, that song's been, so far that song's been pretty good to me. People have really seemed to relate to it. And when I was writing it, I remember talking to my sister and saying, you know, I'm writing this song and I think it's a good song, but it's, you know, it's about the radio and it's really sort of just nostalgic. And I don't know, you know, people don't listen to the radio like they used to anymore. She goes, oh, you know, people love that nostalgia stuff, you know, and it ended up working out really well for me. So I'm glad I finished writing it and got it out there.
When I was a kid, I spent my nights by the light of the radio, in a trance by the shadows that dance in its incandescent glow. And I'd stay up all night long till they played my favorite song by the light of the radio. Out on the street, we cut our teeth to the beat of that rock and roll. Ride around town with the windows down, with the silence light as it would go. The summers came and went, all my nights were spent by the light of the radio. The radio waves crashing through the atmosphere. The radio playing 50,000 watts of power. Things got bad, I just turned that dial and go to someplace far away, a place I could escape by the light of the radio. The radio waves are crashing through the atmosphere. The radio playing 50,000 watts of power.
Great song.
Thank you.
Who is the creator of the video?
That's actually a buddy of mine. His name's Stephen Nemeth. Stephen's a great guy. I've known Stephen for a long time. He writes and directs these sort of B horror movies. That's sort of his genre that he's involved in. And I knew he was an independent filmmaker. You know, I've known him for some time, and he wanted me to actually come and act in one of his projects that he was doing. which I've done a little bit here and there. I've actually acted in an independent film about 3 years ago, and it was a lot of fun. So I showed some interest, but when it was time to make the video, I actually approached him about possibly there's a song on the radio, or a song on the EP, I'm sorry, called The City That Never Sleeps. And it's a bit of it's sort of a New York City song, but it also comes from a perspective of sort of like a stalker kind of David Berkowitz. I don't know why it took that turn, but it did. So I thought, well, gee, he'd be really good to direct that. And we sat down and started talking about it. And I said, you know, I have this other song, that this is next single that's coming out, and we really talked about that, and then decided we would go with that one. So it took us, we worked for a month of Sundays on that. Every Sunday for a month, we would go and, you know, film for the day. And I was really happy with how it turned out. I thought he did a great job on it.
It turned really, really cool. It starts out with a kid playing a harmonica walking down the street. I thought that.
Yeah. That, and in the video, again, it's like that, you know, that kid was the young me as a kid, you know. And so we tried to set it up as if, you know, he was in his room, and we sort of went in this. He was a friend of Steven's, actually, that was their son. And we went, they let us kind of have free reign of their house and go in his room and set it up with some Star Wars posters and some comic books and some really old, cool records.
Yeah,
and,
you know, selection was really good. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, thank you. I was proud of it.
Yeah, I had a Black Light and a Jimi Hendrix poster and a few things like that. But
oh yeah, I used to have the Bruce Lee posters and the Led Zeppelin and I was right there with you, man.
It's so funny when you describe the music and your friend that does the videos. You'd think you'd come up with the music would be Black Sabbath and the video would look like a B horror movie, and it's none of those things. How did you end up with the sound that you have? And I shy away from pigeonholing somebody's genre. So it's you, it's Chris Sullivan. How did you come up with your sound?
You know, I think it's just an amalgamation of probably some of my influences. You know, and I don't, you know, I feel the same way. And like, you know, I my management entered me into this international songwriters competition, which turned out really well for me. And I ended up, you know, getting second place in the Americana category. And my music is categorized as Americana music, but I don't really look at it as I'm an Americana artist. I just feel like I'm a rock and roll guy. And when I say rock and roll, I do understand, you know, my music, I think, is a bit more of a throwback to a lot of people that I really, you know, love and respect. You know, I mean, I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan, and I love Tom Petty, and, you know, I'm Bob Dylan and Neil Young, and, you know, so I think those guys were big influences on me. And when I sit down to write, I really don't write from any sort of, you know, I'm going to try to write a song that sounds like, or I think those influences just sort of bleed through, and I'm just a fan of just good, simple rock music, you know, and I think that's where, you know, that's where it comes from. I just try to write stuff that is fairly relative, you know, I mean, but yeah, all those Springsteen and all those great storytellers are the people that I really love and respect, and probably
that's just it. I was going to say everybody you named are lyricists. Really.
Yes.
I mean, they're good melodies, good songwriters, but they all, and you can understand the lyrics when they record too.
Right. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think that's missing some now and then, you know, these days. I think that's, you know, and I think that sort of style of music has been missing from music for a while, you know, just that good, straightforward, simple rock and roll, you know, that people can relate to and feel good about.
City, we never sleep.
rinse, repeat. I'm on a killing streak. My will is weak. Thriving, surviving, and writhing in heat. Stay alive, ain't no easy feat. I haunt the night like a ghost in a sheet. I'm the first one to fight, last to retreat. Something's gonna happen. I can smell it in the air.
I'm also told in today's market, you're stuck with doing singles and not so much like concept albums because nobody listens to it that way anymore.
Just had that conversation with the guys at the studio yesterday, and I said, you know, my plan was to release this EP. Pardon me. Yeah. Was to release the EP and then, you know, get back in and bring five more songs in and then try to have a full-length album out. But you realize, you know, that people don't buy records like they used to, and people, you know, it's people buy singles. You know, when the record industry, you know, years ago a gold record was a million records, and now it's now a gold record is if you sell 250,000 records, you know. So I mean, even big names in the business, my girlfriend actually works in the music business and works with big bands, and you know, it's become a fact that people don't buy music the way they used to. And you know, streaming services, you know, and SoundCloud, and I'm in favor of that stuff. I mean, I actually use Apple Music myself, but you know, if it's a band that I really support and love, I buy their music. But with streaming services and things like that, and you know, people don't really buy CDs anymore, or you know, it's just different than it used to be. Yeah, and I think the single is kind of what's ruling the day now, which I think is a bit unfortunate because, you know, once again, like you said, and growing up as a kid and with the influence of the radio and things like that, there was just nothing like going to the record store and buying a record and bringing it home and taking that plastic off and opening it up and putting that record on a turntable and, you know, really having that experience and holding that in your hand and looking at the pictures or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and
it even had a smell that was probably carcinogenic as hell.
It absolutely did. Yes, absolutely. And it's funny because, you know, growing up I had a ton of records, and then you get rid of that and you go, oh, okay, I'm going to have cassettes now, and now I'm going to get rid of my cassettes and get CDs, and now you've gotten rid of your CDs and everything's digital. And I do own a lot, you know, obviously a lot of my library is on digital music, but you know, 5 years ago I started collecting vinyl again. So you know, it's nostalgic, it's a throwback, but there was just like that thing where you went and bought that record. It was almost like a ritual to come home and, you exactly. know, open it up and sit down and play it. So I miss that, you know. And the single does, yeah, this I really do feel like the industry has changed so much that, you know, now if you're you know, you can become a YouTube sensation, have never played an instrument or played in front of a person in your life, and, you know, you're an instant, you know, you're a success out there, you know, making tons of dough. So it's changed a lot.
Well, you know, Chris, the industry's changed a lot. That could work to your advantage, because I think your singles, they stand on their own. You could hear one of your songs and say, hey, I like this guy. And now you've got the rapport, you know.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And it does help. I think people, you know, or see a video, you know, if you can go and, you know, check out the video or listen to a single, I think that if people can, as long as you can get your music out and people can hear it, and, you know, if they enjoy the single, I think they're certainly more inclined to say, well, what else, you know, what else does he have? And go and sort of, you know, explore, you know, your library a little bit more, which is the hope that that's what people would do.
All right. Well, you know, my crystal ball says you're going to be massively successful.
Man, I hope your crystal ball is telling the truth, Bruce. That would be amazing. And if so, I hope to talk to you again after that happens.
Absolutely. I'm going to track you. I'm going to stalk you like a madman.
Please do, man. You're in Seattle, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll get to Seattle to play soon. We're looking at some stuff out on the West Coast, so I would love to, if I make it that way, I will definitely be sure to touch base with you. Maybe come and shake your hand in person.
Yeah, I'll show you the town.
Awesome, man. That'd be amazing.
Okay, thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks so much for your time, Bruce. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, you take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So
they played my favorite song by the light of the radio. Out on the street we cut teeth to the beat of that rock and roll. We'd ride around town with the windows down, with the sound stars it would go. The summers came and went, all my nights were spent by the light of the radio.
Radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.